Thank you for taking the ride on the Freedom Train Podcast series. I am your host, Joseph Ward, and as always, ride with me, one of the illest ever, Mr. Patrick Irvin, going down. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc., that's PACGSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. That way you can visit the website, learn more about the organization as a whole, the codes of conduct, becoming a member of PAX Inc., donating to PAX Inc., how to get involved with the missions that PAX Inc. have going on, and also explore the Learning Center so you can learn more about black history throughout the world, because PAX Inc. be putting it down. That's PACTSINC.org. Make sure you also visit the Freedom Train website. That's www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about myself, Joseph Ward, learn more about Patrick, Jamie, and everybody else, and all the new shows that's on the Freedom Train website that's going on right now. Remember, we have the Freedom Train podcast series, the one, the home show, the title show that started it all. We have the Fix Sports Podcast, which is my show, which is the blackest and the realest sports podcast you've ever heard. We have Lessons from the Screen, which is Patrick's show, where he breaks down documentaries, documents, movies, TV shows, YouTube channels, anything that's on the screen that you can get information from, Patrick gonna break it down. And now on Wednesdays at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can catch Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones and Erica Topol live from the Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Pat.
What up?
I said a whole lot.
Yes, you did. But you said it quickly.
Hey, listen to the Bone Thug albums, really help.
Hey, how my levels?
Nah, you good, man. You sound good.
All right, cool. Last show, you know, I want to apologize. Realize I was a little low when we had the ladies on from Tea Time Black Women Talk. So make sure our levels are good.
Right. So
we wanted to let y'all hear it so that y'all knew that we were making corrections intentionally.
Right. Right, we had noted it and fixed it. So that's what we on. So man, what we got on the table for today, man? What we got for today on the train?
So today we have an interesting topic.
Uh-huh.
Amid a week of interesting topics,
uh-huh,
we felt like this one was the most important in terms of our community,
uh-huh,
sticking together and staying together and all that. So everybody knows, when, you know, Alabama had a special election earlier last month.
Hold on, not to cut you off, my bad.
Go ahead.
I don't think a lot of people know it's a special election. Could you break down why it was a special election?
Of course. So you have a special election whenever the person that is in a seat either resigns or moves to another position, which is essentially the same as resigning. So in this case, Jeff Sessions was the senator for Alabama. He was one of the representatives in the Senate for Alabama, the state of Alabama. He got tapped by Donald Trump to serve as the U.S. Attorney General. And so he resigned from his position in the Senate in order to serve as the U.S. Attorney General, which left the opening in the Senate for a representative from his area of Alabama to fill. So they had a special election that happened earlier this month, I believe it was December 12th, to fill that hole. And so when a special election occurs, the person that's voted in is not serving a full term. They are serving the remainder of the term of the person that was elected. So Jeff Sessions' term was slated to end January 3rd, 2021. So now the winner of this special election, Doug Jones, his term is going to end January 3rd, 2021. Mm-hmm. Did I say 2001 the first time? I jacked that up. My fault. So that's the special election. They had the special election December 12th. Doug Jones won by a small margin. A margin of, I believe, 1.5%. You know, basically 21,000 votes if we round up, with over a million people voting. And so, you know, that was an okay thing considering what happened and what Roy Moore represented. But then after the election, something interesting happened.
Right.
This narrative was presented that black people has saved us all, which is how the narrative initially came out, was that we all need to thank black people.
Okay.
Somewhere over the course of a week, that narrative changed from we need to thank black people to we need to thank black women. And now while we don't have a problem with that message inherently, the problem comes in when you have black women now writing articles all over the internet.
Oh, yeah, that root.
And attacking black men.
Right. Yeah, that article on the root, we got to talk about that. We got to talk about that article on the root. Because that was uncalled for. It's like, because if you don't know about that article, and where did we post that article? Where did we post it? I forgot where we posted it. We're trying
to find
that.
We posted it in the Line group. I don't know that we posted it on.
Okay. We're going to try to find that article. But the problem with the article is it's basically saying that black men don't deserve black women. And they based that off of this election and some other things where they felt like politically that black women were in the right and everybody else was in the wrong, and things didn't work out in black women's favor, and if everybody would just listen to black women, it'll work out in black women's favor. Now, we understand that this isn't the voice and the tone of all black women. This is a selected group of black women who are saying this. But the problem when you're saying, hey, we saved y'all asses again, hold on, time out. I thought black people been saving ourselves. And if anybody could save, I thought black people as a whole been working together to save ourselves. Like, I didn't know we was in the competition. Matter of fact, we're not in competition. So what is all this coming from? Why are we here? Because this type of mindset and rhetoric really not going to help us get to where we need to go.
Right. I mean, I'm right there with you. You know, we got to, because we have to stop. And what, like I keep saying, and I've been saying this for the whole week we've been talking about it, my biggest issue with this is that it's not our narrative. You know, right. It's a narrative that some white people came up with. We picked it up and ran with it, and now there are sections of our community using this narrative to further divide our community, and it's not our narrative. So, you know, it's like falling right into the trap of somebody that doesn't have your best interest at heart to begin with, you know. And then I begin to wonder about our ability to really discern accurate how to read information accurately, because a lot of the things that are being used to support this narrative don't really support the narrative.
Yeah, I found it. It was written by Ashley and Cotty. Y'all don't deserve black women. But see, the thing is, like, before we even get into the article, let's look at these numbers and really, really break down what happened in this election so we can really understand how politics and voting and elections work across the board. That I don't think we really understand, because if your narrative is, hey, we saved the day because we had 98% of the vote, that means you really don't understand what's going on. Because as of now, like, the final numbers, 28% of white men, 28% of the white men who voted voted, I mean, 26% of the white men who voted for Doug Jones. So if 16% of the white men would have voted for Doug Jones, Roy Moore would have won. Even at 98% of black women voting. Like, that's just how close this race was. Like, this, like, the 98 helped greatly. The 93, but think about it, like, 93% of black men and 98% of black women voted for Doug Jones, and Doug Jones still barely won. Think about that. So what it means is it takes a total collective effort of all the voters. That's not discounting anybody of anything. Hey, 17% of the voters were black women, and out of that 17%, 98% of that black, or those black women voted for Doug Jones and didn't vote for Roy Moore Softass. Kudos for those women for doing that, but this is not a competition. But even at the end of the day, 100% of the black women could have voted for Doug Jones, and it would have still been a close victory. Matter of fact, 100% of black women could have voted for Doug Jones. 100% of that 17% of black women and 100% of that 11% of black men could have voted for Doug Jones. And if the percentage of white men and the percentage of white women didn't vote for Doug Jones, Roy Moore would have won that Senate. Because it takes a collective effort.
But let's, because even if you want to talk about controlling the margins, which, you know, a lot of people do talk about that, I want to go into those numbers you just mentioned, because the 17% is not the number that's being utilized. The 98% is, and that's what leads me to believe that we really aren't understanding the numbers. That 98% means out of all of the black women that voted, 98% of them voted for Doug Jones. That
right.
Doesn't mean that
98% of black women voted. That's how the narrative is being spent. That 98% of total black women in the world or in Alabama voted for Doug Jones. That's not true.
Yeah, and I've even seen some articles where it suggested that 98% of Doug Jones votes came from black women. Like
most of Doug Jones voters were white men. I mean, most of the voters, period, for this race, 35% of the voters were white men, 31% of the voters were white women, 11% were black men, and 17% were black women.
So you do the breakdown of that is, too, like you just said, if anybody had to change their vote, you know, if all of those people that wrote in, because they had 22,000 write-ins, if
some
all of those write-ins were for Roy Moore, Doug Jones would have lost.
Right.
You know, like, so, you know, you get into that, but for me, again, it's just the narrative. Why do these people feel the need to create division, to attack their brothers, their husbands, their fathers? Why do they feel the need to attack us? And, like, this statistic that you're using to attack us, is not even, the statistic doesn't even agree with your argument, because it has nothing to do with the point you're trying to make. I just don't understand where this division, well, we need to do something about this need that some people have to attack
other people.
But
to me, it's, I mean, state this again, not all black women, but those black women who have this mindset of, we black women are carrying the nation and carrying the world. That, first of all, that's not true. Stop. Show me one point in one time in American history where black women endured anything that white supremacists had to throw at us alone. Show me that time where black women had to endure it alone. Now, the things that black women faced may have been different from black men, but you didn't go through the bullshit alone. That just didn't happen. Black men, there's never been a time in American history where black men has had it easy. Matter of fact, we can, and it's not to get no tit for tat, but we can say in some respects, in some regards, in some instances, black men have had it worse. You can. And the same, we can say the same thing for black women. We can say the same thing for both sides. There's differences, but nobody's been alone in this fuckery dealing with white supremacy. Nobody's been alone. So to go about it with the mindset of, hey, well, we're carrying America on our back because we're the only ones with a moral compass in America, that's straight bull. Like, and you can't, you're not serious about making change because it's that you have a us against the world mentality and nobody's against you. Nobody's even thinking about you like that, but it's almost like they're drumming up certain things and being divisive against us as black men and turning us out as if we're enemies, and we're not enemies against black women. We're here to fight and stand with black women, but there's certain black women and who have these mindsets that are not healthy, and we can't admit, and we talk about it all the time, but that's not our focus today. But there are some black women, some black men. You see how we tore into Damon when he said that stuff about black men? You see how we tore into Damon. So we get like that, but we got to stop this as if we're trying to win. There's no competition between black men and black women. We're working together. We all losing together. So we're trying to win together. So I don't get this.
Right. Well, it doesn't make sense. And you always see it. And like you said, We this show in particular, you know, we've had shows where we tore into the men. Actually, I think we've had more
shows
where we
tore into the men. We did more towards the men because we are men, so we should tear the men more.
But, you know, at the same time, you know, we at some point, enough is enough. You got to stop. We have to address the other side of the aisle, especially when the other side of the aisle is able to put out these sorts of materials.
Which is damaging.
Yeah, extremely damaging. I mean, because, you know, first we had the black men are the white men of the black community, and that was written by a dude, and we ripped his ass.
And then
we became terrorists. And now we're essentially not pulling our weight. Then you, not to... A few months earlier into this year, you had a thing where the women were holding signs. You had black women holding signs over a bridge in Atlanta or something. And then, that might have been last year. But then, like, you just keep having all of these instances pop up where it seems like black women have created an enemy out of black men. Than they've created an enemy out of white supremacy.
Let me read. I got to read. This is some of that Root article. Let me read this. One thing is certain. Y'all don't deserve black women. On Tuesday, the Alabama Senate race took place. Roy Moore, a repugnant alleged serial child molester who believes that women should not have the right to vote, civil rights should be scraped, and slavery was lit, lost by a hair. I mean, that right there, lost by a hair right there, should let you know right there that Doug Jones, Moore's opponent, was carried to victory by black folks, which is a mistake by black folk right there. Specifically, black women. Exit polls show that 98% of black women voted for Jones as compared to 93% of black men, 35% of white women, 27% of white men. Listen closely. Do you hear it? That, my friends, the sound of hundreds upon thousands of black women letting out a resounding, we tried to tell y'all. Every time there's something good in this world, know that black women probably did it first, said it first, seen it first. Someone was so sure about this that they put it on a t-shirt. Conversely, most negative thing in this world black women tried to save you from. How did hundreds of thousands of women try to 17% of black women showed up to vote. 17%. 17% of the voters that showed up were black women. That's third place. That ain't hundreds of thousands.
No, it's definitely not. It's but everything about that, because she mentions the percentage of the people that turned out that voted for particular candidates, but she never mentions the actual percentage of people that turned out. And that's why I said before, that 17% number is nowhere in that article.
Right, nowhere. But see, that's the thing. The difference, there's a distinct difference between that 98% of the voters voting for Jones and 17% of those voters being black women. Because basically what happened was Not all but 2% of that 17% voted for Doug Jones. That's what that is saying. Almost the whole 17% of black women who showed up to vote voted for Doug Jones. Now, in conjunction with the 93% of the 11% of black men, 34% of 31% of white women, and 26% of 35% of white men. It took that collective effort to win. It really took that. It wasn't that the 98% put Jones over the top. That 98% was a solid. That was a key point, but it didn't secure the victory. The total numbers secured the victory. And this is not a competition.
Well, I think that's the point that you know, to harp on, because, you know, I don't think there are too many different ways we can say that this was not a victory for black women solely.
Nor
was it a victory for black men or for black people solely. And again, we get back to the point you made earlier. We've always been in this struggle together. The things we've gone through have been different. I'm not going to sit here and say one person, one gender had it worse than the other, because I wouldn't want to trade the abuse that any gender had for the abuses of the opposite gender.
Right.
You know, I wouldn't want to do that. Because honestly, I wouldn't want to experience any of it. Even to this day, right now, I don't enjoy being a black man in America. I don't want to put being a black man in America on any black woman. Similarly, I look at what our black women have to go through, and I don't want that either. It's different, but it's not to say one is worse than the other, and we got to get out of this, like you said. Why are we competing with each other? That's something my mom used to ask us all the time when we used to have these situations as a kid. Why are y'all competing to see who has it the worst? What kind of sick mentality
do
you have to get into a competition to see who has the worst life?
Right. Because the mentality is if you have it the worst, then you the realest. That's stupid.
That is extremely dumb.
That's
super dumb. That's extra super dumb.
But it's like in this, black people showed up and help Doug Jones win. Black people did show up to help Doug Jones win. And now the thing is accountability. So are black people going to be in the process of the mind state, the notion? Are black people even in the position to hold Doug Jones accountable for his actions?
No.
Because now we got. So let's look a little bit into Doug Jones and see what Doug Jones is about. Because we don't. But I'm be real. I don't know much about Doug Jones. All I know is he's the dude that's running against the white dude who be touching on little girls.
Bruh, we ain't in no position to hold Doug Jones accountable. I'd be willing to bet most of us didn't know who Doug Jones was before this. Some of us probably still don't know who Doug Jones is, other than, you know, because we still call him the dude that beat Roy Moore. Like, we know Roy Moore name, and let's be honest again. It ain't like people was voting for Doug Jones.
They was voting against Roy Moore,
yeah.
Right. So, but that's why, you know, when you see black people all embracing Doug Jones and jumping with him in Jubilee and all harmoniously, and all like, hold on. Who the fuck is Doug Jones? Like, who? Now, his claim to fame for the black community is the trial, right?
Yeah.
So what's some information? Give us some more information on that, please.
All right. So back in 1965, there was most of us know about the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing.
That's the four girls in the church, right?
Right.
Because most people know about that, the four girls in the church.
That's the four girls in the church. So the four black girls in the church, most of us know about that. It injured 22 people, there were four black girls killed in the church, and those four black girls have become famous. They become symbols. They become icons and memorials artists, within the community. Right. That was in the 1963. In 1965, the FBI finished their investigation into the bombing and determined that four known Ku Klux Klan members were guilty of it. So in 1977, one of them was tried and convicted of first-degree murder. And then in 2000, they retried two of the other guys. And Doug Jones was the prosecutor that was appointed to try them in the case. So that was in 2000. And then in 2001, one of them received a life sentence. And in 2002, the other one received a life sentence. Now, the fourth Klan's member died in 1994. He was never charged with anything. But that's really when Doug Jones became, you know, got put on people's radar, was in the 2000 trial of these two men concerned in the 1960s 16th Street Baptist Church bombing.
Okay. And so, as a politician, what has he done?
As a politician, I haven't been able to find a whole lot that Doug Jones has done for black people. Even in looking at some of the things he was saying, his platform is generic. It's a generic-ass Democratic platform. Equality, freedom, opportunity, the same things that all Democrats profess. And when you dig down into the details of his values and things of that nature, you know, I'm looking at it right now to make sure that I don't misspeak, but he has something in here about women. He has something in here about children. But I don't see anything in here about black people. Now, I know, and before, because I can already hear black people saying, well, ain't black people women? Ain't black people, you know what I'm saying? Ain't black people children? Aren't black people dealing with discrimination, which he mentions? Aren't black people a part of the diversity problems? The reason why I don't attribute black issues to politicians that speak in general terms is because, generally speaking, they aren't speaking about us. They're speaking about other people. So nowadays, when you hear them talking about discrimination, they're talking about Muslims, or they're talking about immigrants of some sort. You know what I'm saying? Hispanics, Muslim immigrants, religious freedoms, prosecutions, and things of that nature. When they're talking about women's rights, we all know they're not thinking about black women. They're thinking
right,
about
they're
white
talking
women.
About white women, right?
Right.
Because, you know, they get big. Well, let's just be real. When they talk about LGBT rights, they say LGBTQ
right.
rights. They say it. So when they talk about black rights, they
right.
don't talk about
Maybe
it. Let's
they
just
talk
real.
About it.
Yeah, right. They don't talk about it. They don't talk about it. So, but if they talk about a specific group, they'll talk about a specific group. They'll talk about the broad general population. They'll say that. So.
Right. And the only thing in here that could even remotely you could stand on by saying it's for black people is when they talk about voter suppression. But again, voter suppression is a bigger issue than just black people because, you know, you're also dealing with the Hispanic community is dealing with voter suppression issues as well. Republicans don't want anybody coming out but white people. So, you know, right. even on the voter suppression issue, you know, and that's just me looking at his website, you know, and then you look back at some of the other things that he's talking about. I just don't see anything in here that has to do primarily with what he's done as an attorney general for black people. And on his only real activity, even based off his website, was the prosecution of the Ku Klux Klansman back in the 2000s. That's the only activity he has.
So
the rest of it is pure rhetoric.
So here's another Bernie Sanders, huh? He got a little, he did something a long time ago to make you Negroes happy that y'all will stick to and ride with me with. You know, something a little like that, and then, you know, don't really have to do nothing as a politician.
Well, I give him more credit than Bernie.
More credit than Bernie? Okay.
At least he did this century.
Yeah, in the 2000s. Yeah, Bernie did it back in the 60s when he had no power.
Right, like
Bernie was a nobody with nothing to lose back then.
Right. Yeah, I gotta give him a little more credit than I give Bernie. And then too, Bernie has been a politician a lot longer than Roy Moore. I actually believe this is not Roy Moore. This is actually Doug Jones's first political seat. Because before this, he was the district, the U.S. attorney for Alabama. So this is his first time actually having real political power. So we'll see what he does with it. But based off his actions as the attorney general, as the United States attorney, I don't see a whole lot that he can stand on in terms of helping black people. And attorneys do have power. Let's say that as well. Like, don't sit back and think that United States attorneys, appointed attorneys and prosecutors, don't have power. They have more power in the courtroom than the defenders do. And in some courtrooms, some people could argue that prosecutors have more power than judges, because judges have to deal with mandatory minimums and all these other things. The types of deals that prosecutors can make, the way that prosecutors determine whether or not they're going to even prosecute a case, we all get caught up in this grand jury indictment thing. If a prosecutor wants to prosecute a case, they can proceed forward regardless of what a grand jury indictment says. They can proceed forward without a grand jury indictment. They can proceed forward to prosecute a case whenever and however they want to. These men have power. So for him to have been a prosecutor for this amount of time and not to have done anything, really,
call his ass out.
That's significant. That's significant. Just want to point that out for everybody that's like, well, it ain't like he a senator or nothing. He's just a prosecutor. Nah, stop it. All right, I'm sorry. I'm off my rant. You got it.
Nah, that's cool. That's good stuff. Because people need to know. Now, hey, but what's funny, though, let's talk about some of these write-ins, though. Because the Republicans kind of fucked themselves.
Yeah, they did.
How many write-ins? 21,000?
There were 20... Yeah, about 20,000. We'll just say 20,000.
So, 100,000 write-ins. This thing said, did the cartoon characters, Hollywood personalities, famous politicians. So they got Kermit the Frog, Mickey Mouse, look like Clint Eastwood, something like that. like some of the write-ins were Robert E. Lee and the Ghost of Stonewall Jackson. Governor George Wallace, Kermit the Frog, Mickey Mouse,
God.
Yeah, Bugs Bunny, SpongeBob, SquarePants, Snow White,
Nick Saban, Big Al,
Snoopy, yeah, Jesus, God, and God, dude from the Duck Dynasty, Ed Orgeron, the old coach, LSU coach,
Chuck Norris,
yeah, Mike. So those votes, if Republicans was really on it, those votes could have went for more, and more could have won. Yeah, man, they stupid, man.
And I mean, right now they're going through a civil war. We know that with the whole, they really are having internal issues right now. And they're
now, because my thing is, I'm not saying they're stupid for writing in, but writing in for somebody who can actually be a real candidate and really do something if you don't want to vote for Roy Moore. Like, have a real candidate. Like, don't vote for no damn Mickey Mouse. Come on, man.
Well, when you got the system on your back, you know what I'm saying? Like, they know that they taking care of regardless of who wins. My issue with black people, we taking it back to black people is, you know, like, we didn't vote for Doug Jones. We voted against Roy Moore. When they can control you by controlling your opponent, then you have no control.
And see, that's my thing about, that's my thing about, like, who is Doug Jones, and what do we know about Doug Jones, and was it just reactionary? Because, well, we know it got to the runoff, and those are the only two candidates, and then outside of the write-ins. But if you got your write-in game up, if you organize enough for your write-in game, then who you want can be in there.
It was reactionary. I can guarantee it was, and right now, every article I've read, most of the people I'm talking to, they're all saying the same thing. Well, at least Roy Moore didn't win. That is the wrong thing to be saying.
Yeah, like, I mean, you,
like,
you,
who
you,
the hell is Doug Jones?
Right. It's like, what? How do we, like, we're calling that day, how do we know this wasn't created? Like, Doug Jones ain't the motherfucker that they really wanted, and Roy Moore was the motherfucker that, hey, he was dumb enough to have this shit, so, hey, you can set him up and make him fall. Like, how do we know Doug Jones ain't the real racist? But how do we know that?
We don't.
And why don't? And why don't?
Roy Moore said some shit, and Doug Jones didn't.
And why don't we have candidates coming from our own community that we've nurtured and grown and put up? Why don't? Why are we always voting off what they give us?
We gotta, bro. We gotta be more critical, and we gotta be more proactive. I mean, we really. I don't understand why we don't have our own party yet, to be honest. I don't understand why we're so beholden to Democrats. I personally don't understand how any black person in today's day and age could not be independent. I don't get it. Like, I don't claim any party, and that's not to say I'm superior, but that is to say I recognize that for me, looking back at it and looking at what we have, the Democrats aren't too much better than the Republicans. The Democrats are just nicer with they fucked up shit.
Yeah, black people need to tell both parties to kiss our ass and go on to do our own thing. We don't need either party. But we keep doing the same thing over and over and over. Acting like we need either party. Like, we're just bound to these parties. Like, we have to have these parties. And if we don't mess with these parties, our whole political futures are messed up. The parties need us.
And I don't understand why. Like, this, I just keep going back to this division. And the fact that there are so many things that are making the division worse that shouldn't be. Like, this election should not be have become a weapon to be used against one group of the black community by another group of the black community, especially when the entirety of the black community was, for the most part, unified in its actions.
Right. But they let a small section of black women curb that narrative. I don't understand how that happened. Like, the black women who don't stand for that, they should have been on their ass.
Yeah, because I was actually reading the comments looking on all of these articles, looking for somebody to push back. And I never saw any pushback. And I know some people would be like, well, it ain't really worth our time to push back, whatever, whatever, whatever. But I would disagree. Like, when you got stuff coming out like this at the rate that it's coming out, I feel like you have an obligation at some point to push back, to begin to let other black people know that this is not cool. Like, we're not going to tolerate this. The same way we push back against men that shit on black women, we need black women to start pushing back against that other narrative that some of their counterparts are pushing.
Right. Right. Because, like, when you have somebody who has a platform like The Root saying these things here,
we're going to have to talk about The Root, and they fuck shit too at some point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, because you can't keep putting out dumbass articles and damaging articles like this just out the blue. Because as, like, we're talking about these election numbers, the way we're breaking down these numbers and these percentages, it's not to take away anything that anybody's did, anybody's efforts, but just put stuff in perspective. Roy Moore did not lose just because 98% of black women voted. The 98% of black women that voted contributed to the total numbers that helped Roy Moore lose. Just like the 93% of black men, just like the percentage of white men, and just like the percentage of white men, women. Like, it's just real. Like, it's, I mean, it is what it is, but there should not be any divisiveness within our community. Like, ha-ha, we did again, we in first place again, ha-ha, we outdid y'all again, ha-ha. Because I'm looking at the Breakfast Club and the interview with Angela Rye. And, you know, Charlamagne, and I was telling you about Charlamagne and Angela Rye basically, you know, getting into a back and forth about this. It didn't get serious, but, you know, they were starting to get into it about it because Angela was like, we in first place, we did it, we carried, we won. And Charlamagne was like, how y'all won? There was no one. I mean, just 90%. I mean, black people won. Black people showed up. Black people did. Ha-ha, no. This, and it's like Angela, like, first of all, you being you, you can't have that mindset and that attitude, and you can't have that rhetoric with the following that you have and the platform that you have. You can't be that woman out there, whether you're playing or not. You can't be doing that.
No, you don't play like that in public. No, you
right.
don't.
Right, because it's showing that black people don't have our stuff together in public.
And it causes other women that follow you, that look up to you, that idolize you, to begin to spew that same type of venom towards men in their community.
Because it's like, it's almost as if the narrative, the continued narrative is black men don't know how to carry their own weight, which is bullshit.
Nah, Angela Rye don't get no passes for that. And I dislike Charlamagne the God, but if he was pushing back against her on that,
he was.
2 points for him. Because Angela Rye has popped up out of nowhere. She does have a lot to say. But that's not cool, and that's not kosher in no way, shape, form, or fashion to be talking about, you know, we won in this situation, and to be minimizing the contributions of the entirety of the black community.
Without really understanding what Doug Jones is truly going to do for the community. How do we really hold Doug Jones accountable?
What's really
going on with Doug Jones with that?
I like the way you keep wording it, because I like the way, you know, like, you're not saying Doug Jones won, you're saying Roy Moore lost. And I love the way you keep wording it like that, because
he did. Roy Moore did lose, but everybody's excited about a person that nobody knows about. About a person that politically, outside of the trial, hasn't done anything really for black people.
Well, we're going to find out what he's about. You know, I don't expect things to change too much in Alabama, but
if something changes, I will be surprised. But other than that...
And I'll take back my words if he actually does something. But as it stands right now, based on the track record of politicians and Democrats in general, because the other thing people hate this, well, I'm not even going to go there. But there is no track record, no evidence in place to suggest that this man is going to do anything for black people, even though he garnered literally 95% of the black vote.
Yeah. I just want us to be more educated and more thoughtful when it comes to voting and these numbers and how these turnouts really happen and how these things really affect us. Because if you get to the point, because that's how you know you're inferior. If you're like, ha-ha, we got this, ha-ha, we in this, ha-ha, we in this. That's what children do when they're not used to winning.
Nah, did she really do that?
I mean, I'm exaggerating a little more, but it was in that ballpark.
Did she really say we won, though?
Yeah, like, we came in first place. Yeah, black women, we came in first place. We number one.
Nah, see, because I figure you're exaggerating about the ha-ha, but if she really said we won, we came in first place,
now
she
needs
to be checked for that.
She said that, but that's what Charlamagne was trying to do. That's what he was saying. Like,
he shouldn't have been doing it alone, though. Like,
I agree.
Experience some backlash for that.
I agree, but you know, and Angela Rye, and I mean, yeah, not Angela Rye, but Angela Yee was like, hey, well, you know, black women did have the 98%. Well, no, if black women didn't have 98% of the votes, 98% of black women of that 98% of that 17% showed up to vote.
Black women has 16%, 15% if we round it. So let's be. All right, if 17% of black women, if 70% of the vote was black women, and 98% of that voted for Doug Jones, then okay, we'll say 15 or 16% of the black women voted for Doug Jones. That's y'all number. Y'all number is not 98. Your number is 16. Okay, so what did you win?
Right.
You didn't
16,
win. There were more
16.
White people, more white men showed up, more white women showed up. You did not come in first. You came in third, if we're being honest about it.
Right.
You beat
right.
Black
it
men.
Says it right there. Right. It says because the percentage of the voters.
So if you're so if by saying we came in first, you're basically saying we beat black men. That's what you're saying.
Of the 15% of the 17% voted for Doug Jones. That's
so I don't understand. So, and that's why I said she's supposed to be a political strategist and commentator. She should know better. She really should. Like, she really should know. And I'm not attacking Angela Rye. I don't think she should lose her audience. I'm not saying she's not worth listening to. I've listened to her on a couple of occasions. She's made some very good points. But if she was really on somebody's show talking about we won, we came in first place, and this is what we're talking about and looking at, she needs to experience some backlash for that, because that is completely unacceptable. That's divisive.
Yeah.
That's
and he's
problem
about,
creating.
He talked about in-house backlash. He ain't
yeah,
talking about
yeah,
nobody
yeah.
trying to
no,
go out
no,
in front
no,
and,
no,
and embarrass nobody. That ain't what he's talking about.
Reason. Yeah. Yeah, this does not give white people clearance to attack Angela Rye. I'm not saying
we
that
will
at
let
all.
Y'all ass have it, white people, and all you other haters. We will let y'all have that. That's not what we're not saying. We're offering our sister up for the kill. That's not what we're saying. We're talking about within our own home. We need to talk some things over with her. That's
yeah.
what we're saying.
We need to have a come to Jesus meeting with our sister. Definitely, because that's and I don't even think we as men need to do it. That need to be something other black women call her up and be like, look, Angela Rye, that was, look, Angela, Angie, whatever they call Boopsie, whatever her nickname is for black women. What? Look, that was unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
What you did was completely unacceptable. And if a black dude had gotten onto a national show and did something like that.
He would have been crucified.
You know what, though? I'm going to start penning open letters to these black dudes. You know, we got to start setting the example, I guess. So the next time and that's really the only way we can reach out to these people, because they're not going to answer our phone calls.
Right.
So I think the only way to reach out to them is, you know, the next time I see a black dude, and Joe, you're more in touch with what's going on than I am. So the next time you see a black dude doing some fucked up shit, let me know. I'm going to pen an open letter and put it out there. And that's how we just going to start checking people from now on. Look, open letter. Boom. I hope it makes it to you.
Tell Joe Budden to stop beefing with these young rappers and move forward in life.
Oh, man, that's hip-hop. Can't help you on that one, but
I just saw Joe Budden picture. That's why I said.
I can't help you. Joe Budden. His ego still ain't realized that he ain't what he think he is.
Hey.
Joe Budden, you're never going to be that dude, ever. I like your podcast. I love his podcast. I listen to it like once or twice a month. I don't know if it's still going on because I'm always listening to old shows. But I do like his podcast. But he needs to understand that your time, your opportunity to be that dude is done. And it didn't happen for you. I'm sorry.
Hey. I don't know. But you know, voting, man, voting literacy. I'm going to say it like that. Voting literacy, political literacy. Knowledge of politics is crucial. So we won't go trying to celebrate moral victories or thinking that we changed the world or coming up with these fake superhuman. Like they really created a like superhero narrative around black women as if black men are the damsels in, like we black men have become in the news the damsels in distress, but we ain't asking for no help.
Well, we kind of created that narrative. That's kind of getting into another subject, but I will say black men have kind of created that narrative of us needing to be rescued, because we always talking about the abuse and the subjugation and the demification and the all of the other things that black men are experiencing. So that whole in the distress now, that's kind of on us. Not it's on us a little bit. A lot of it, yeah, it's on us.
Okay,
from my
them.
Perspective.
On them who created that, on them, on us. Said it like that. But, man, it's like, we're in this together.
We are.
We're not gonna be able to win this by ourselves. Black men can't win it by themselves. Black women can't win it by themselves. We're in this together. We got to fight together. We got to march together. We got to cry together. We got to love together. We got to do all that together. And it took a collective. Now that 11% of black men and that 17% of black women, and then the 15% of that 98, the 15% of that 17% of black women, and that majority of those black men, that majority of that 11% of black men that voted for Doug Jones helped Doug Jones win. Black people helped Doug Jones win. But black people, it ain't over. Got to hold Doug Jones accountable. Matter of fact, black people, y'all should have had demands together for Doug Jones before the election happened. That's what should have happened. Demands should have been together before the election, and make Doug sign off on and say he promised to do these things and make it legally binding. If you don't do this, we suing your ass, the state, and everybody else, Doug. If you want our vote.
Well, I mean, to be honest, we don't even have to go that far to be like, I'm going to sue you. If you're a politician, if you're a part of a constituency and the politician you elected fails to fulfill their promises and their obligations to you, you can get them out of office. We talked about this before. You can have a voter confidence election and have them removed from office before their term is up. I think we need to start doing that a lot more often. In this case, we had a position of strength because we did control the margins as a group, black people as a collective. We controlled the margins.
Yeah.
We were in a position to say, look, we need this if you want to win.
Right, but we didn't do it. We dropped the ball on that.
Well, that's because we were so caught up in not letting Roy Moore get in that nobody was thinking about, you know, how do we capitalize off Doug Jones? Now we got the situation we got. Well, they got the situation they got. Well, I guess we, because he's in
it's
the
still
Senate.
Black people. Yeah. But represents, but it's still Alabama, though. But.
Yeah, it's Alabama, but he's in the Senate, so he has power, you know, some power nationally. But, you know, we get so caught up in picking the lesser of two evils
that we forget to position ourselves and give ourselves power.
Right. But I don't know. You all right, Joe? You seem distracted this show. You ain't as high energy as you usually are.
No, I ain't distracted. I'm chilling. I'm tired. I ain't gonna lie. I'm a little tired. It's been a long. This December is a busy month, man. December's always.
You just gonna ignore me asking you if you high?
Am I high? Nah. Yeah. Nah, I'm tired.
You
it's
drunk?
Been long.
You was drunk the other night, weren't you?
I was drinking the other night. I was. I got it in. I got some drinking in. It was going down. So
okay.
Hey man, it's been a It's been a good year. It's been a tiring year, but you know.
All right, well, let's wrap it up then.
Hey, man.
You over here dragging ass and shit, sounding like you don't want to be here.
Hey, dog. Don't be trying.
You're not on the show while we doing the show.
First of all, I don't sound like that.
Yes,
first
you do.
First of all, Patrick, don't make. Hey,
we got an audience. We can ask people.
Cause I think you discriminating against me today.
Tam.
See.
Tam, you on?
What's up?
Don't Joe sound? See, I told you we had an audience. Don't Joe sound crazy? Don't he sound low energy?
No, he sound alright.
See? Bam! In your face.
He sound
alright. It's a conspiracy. Tammy don't listen to enough shows. We got to bring somebody else on.
See, Pat want me to be going off on people every show.
No, I don't, because I actually, when you go off on people, I get nervous, because I don't know what you're going to say next.
Me neither.
I'll be wanting to have to issue no apologies. I'm not interested in fighting nobody that's 6 foot plus, 300 plus pounds, because you didn't challenge them to a fight in the oak tree after three. I'm good.
Hey. I ain't going to do it while you on the line. I respect that, so.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, man, but
you, come see by
look, we appreciate you. Our kids appreciate you. The wife appreciates you.
Hey, Tammy, why you on the line? Tell them about your show again. Tell them about tea time while you on the line. Tell them about it.
Oh, man, you caught me off guard, but you got to stay ready, right?
Right.
Oh, Tea Time, Black Women Talk, is a group of four women getting together to talk about issues as it pertains to the black community through the eyes of black women. So we cover current events, past events, community, sisterhood. We shoulder the guys sometimes or run alongside them. We're definitely a group of diverse women. We come from different backgrounds. We are definitely opinionated with very, very different opinions. Just offering the view from the black woman's perspective. We decided to call it Tea Time because we all like to drink tea. And usually, you know, on the flip side of tea, usually means what's going on. So come join us. We're up and coming. We're coming up soon. We're trying to make a better community amongst all of our brothers. We've got Patrick and Joe running side of us, running alongside of us, or we're running alongside of them. You know, I kind of jumped on because I didn't know if y'all needed a woman's perspective on the bashing of black men, supposedly, as far as the division and the count with Alabama, because I don't believe in that. I'll shut somebody down real quick. So I might have to look into that. Just like I looked into that, I was really upset about that lady that hung that sign over the bridge in Atlanta. Patrick will tell you, I wanted to, like, fight her. Like, I was about to get in my car, drive up 85.
You got to stop that. You can't be just trying to roll up on folks.
Who, I can't?
Yeah, you got to stop that.
Yeah, so I can't roll up, see, now that's discrimination. That's.
You don't even be strapped. You don't even have no weapon on you.
That's a double standard, Joe. That's a double standard. So you're going to challenge somebody.
I didn't say I was going to run up on somebody.
But they can come see you. But
yeah, you coming to see me. Now, if you're crazy enough to come see me, then, hey, I can invite you all I want. But if you're crazy enough to do it, you better be ready. That's all I'm saying. That ain't safe. That's what's up.
Well, like I said, I just, it's definitely It's definitely an issue, and I love it when Mo knows, hashtag Mo knows, gets on and she said, I can say a lot of things, but you will never find me on the opposite side of a black man. And I just love when she says that because, you know, it's true. Like, it shouldn't be like that. I mean, you can agree to disagree, but you do that in the house, you know. You don't do that in the public's view. Give them the opportunity to tear, you know, your counterpart down. It's not worth it. It's not
right.
Too much of it going on. If I'm going to cut up, nobody else is going to know it. I'm going to cut up in the house.
Yeah,
even if I'm shamed, it's going to be in the house. So,
like the TV show.
Yeah, I'm definitely an advocate for that in the house. Like, it's kind of funny because, you know, Patrick always saying, I can't fight. But, you know, if anything were to ever happen,
too.
Whatever. Nobody would know because it would be in the house. I'm not going to outwardly embarrass my significant other, my brother, you know, my dad, my uncle. I'm not going to do it because then that gives the other person leverage for what?
And she don't want to embarrass them by getting beat up.
Whatever. I don't want to give anybody the upper hand. I'm not going to let that go. I'm not gonna let anybody think that I don't have it. That's first and foremost. So
they already know.
What,
boy? we got audience, tens of thousands of people, and you just told all of them you can't fight.
Whatever. I say y'all say I can't fight. That's all right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell us about your body at work. What's your record?
That's G14 classified. I'm not bragging. I ain't going to brag. I'm not going to be like Mo.
Hey,
I'm
you
not
going
to be like Mo and brag.
All you got to say
Mo
is
Mo said she don't brag. You take that back. Mo,
you got a 500
Mo
record.
Story.
Though,
she making a statement. Say what?
Tammy
so you
is
got
batting
she 500.
Nah, she batting 250.
Yeah.
Hey man, parting shots. Parting shots. Pat, what's your parting shots, man?
Power to the people.
Power to the people. Tammy, what's your parting shots?
Pardoning shots?
What you gonna say before you get off the line?
Oh, one love.
Amen.
Black
America. Yeah. Remember, unified, we are a hell of a force.
Yes,
it's not, we're not fighting against each other. This is a war against white supremacy, not a war within ourselves. So the more that we work together, live together, love together, fight together, pray together, eat together, all those things together, the better we will be as black people. Because, remember, they know how powerful we are. It's just up to us to remember how powerful we are. So, hey, man, I'll let y'all
Wait. One more thing. Cocaine is a hell of a drug. Go ahead.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug. Yeah. There you go. Two fingers in the air like a player, man. Peace. Thank you.